I would like to give a little personal introduction to our seminar, The Art of Transformation. This seminar is different from the other ones which you have heard so far from me. In this seminar, I feel a little bit like going in a ship with my ship into an unknown ocean, where we will be forced to react to what happens on the way. This doesn't mean that the seminar is not structured. It has, for each day, a very precise plan. Very, whatever a conditioned soul can plan. The subject matter is so entirely personal that whatever you will understand in this seminar will have to be very much applied in your personal life in order to make sense. In this seminar, I hope to not be the one who sits here and presents ideas to an audience. In this seminar, I hope to be someone who distributes tools which will be used by each one of you in his or her life. For many years, or let us say 5 years ago, I started to ask the question in my life, which had serious consequences to my own developments in Krishna consciousness. The question was, what can I do in my own situation to make the process of Krishna consciousness work for me? Personal question. And I have received answers. It was not always easy. I have gone to different countries to make different pilgrimages in different experiences. I have worked on what we can call my own way in Krishna consciousness. And I know it is by no means finished and ended. It is only beginning. Just a little while ago, I saw the name of one devotee who's known to me in the cyberspace. I saw his name in a context which was surprising for me. This devotee had decided to spend a summer on chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And I was surprised because I understood that this devotee had made a decision, or the beginning of a decision in his life. And that was to find his own way in Krishna consciousness. The difference between a devotee who only formally practices Krishna consciousness and a devotee who does it with deep commitment is to be found in this one decision. A devotee who wants to make a commitment understands, this is my way in Krishna consciousness. May I ask you, what do you consider the most essential element in Krishna consciousness? What is it all about? When you give an answer to this difficult question, I want to request you to find your own personal answer, not what you have learned or heard from others. I hope what you have learned, what you have heard. What does Krishna consciousness for you mean? What is it all about? I know the more simpler the question become, the more difficult they are. This is a very difficult question. What is Krishna consciousness for you all about? Can I have a show of hands? In the initial state of Krishna consciousness, where I believe most of us are, the Krishna consciousness means to divert our attention from matter to Krishna. And what happens afterwards, who knows? It's an adventure, in other words, which you see in the future. So I think is a very wonderful answer. I want to thank you very much. It's a very... Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur ends one of his books with this commentary, with a similar commentary. What is Krishna consciousness for me all about? For me, Krishna consciousness means to become deep in every aspect of my life. For me, it's developing faith. That's a very deep answer also. For me, Krishna consciousness is all about developing faith that the spiritual reality can fulfill all my needs and desires. I'm saying this for the, that everyone can hear it again. Purna Chandra Prabhu, what is Krishna consciousness for you all about? Is it alright if I asked you? For me, Krishna consciousness is all about opening my heart and becoming more loving to Krishna and all of Krishna's devotees. All, or did you say Krishna's devotees? All. For me, Krishna consciousness is all about coming in contact with Krishna through the 9 processes of devotional services, especially the chanting of the holy name. For me, Krishna consciousness is a mixture of constant endeavor in my spiritual practice and mercy. I'm happy that you have not yet told what Krishna consciousness is all about for me, so that it... For me, Sachinandan Swami in the year 2001, I believe, is all about transformation of the heart. And I want to say that I found in this very general category many of the answers of the learned community of devotees included. We start on a path, we chant, we have an association with devotees, and so on and so forth, all the things we do. And it is hoped that after some time, when we come out of this practice, something has changed in us. Something has moved in us. Some magical, almost mystical transformation has taken place. If we remain the same, I don't mean as souls, but as human beings, as sadhakas, after many years of practice, it is sure that something has not really happened to our full satisfaction. Hare Krishna, I'm feeling very honored by 2 very exalted God brothers Look at Maharaj. Getting slightly nervous. Where would you like to... We have to sit the guest. Would you like to sit here or better on that on a chair? Is it more comfortable? Hare Krishna, no. Srila Jiva Goswami describes in Bhakti Sandarbha that the main object of spiritual practice is the transformation of the heart. And he quotes a verse from the second chapter of the second canto. It's to be found in text 34, and you might like to read it. I will request Arjya to write a few relevant texts on the blackboard, 2 to 34, so that you can read it in your own time. In this verse, it is said that if someone chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, but his heart does not experience ecstatic transformations, he has a heart of steel. It is something unusual. It is not to be expected. In other words, this verse makes the point that as you chant Hare Krishna, there should be a transformation if you have a normal heart and not a steel heart. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada describes exactly what that transformation in the heart should be like. He said, there should be an increase of loving attachment to devotional service to Krishna. No, that you want to serve Krishna. And there should be a detachment from the false sense of lording it over the material world. In other words, to say it short, you should become a lover and stop being a controlletti, a controller. Controlletti is the Italian equivalent to controller. Be a lover and not a controlletti. Is this a bona fide word in Italian, Anita? Or is it a new creation? It's a new creation. So we have created a new word. Let us look at the place where this transformation should take place. The place where the transformation in the life takes place is the sritsa, the heart. When you look for a transformation in spiritual life, it is not a transformation of the frisura, the hairstyle, or the dress, or the language. The transformation in heart, in spiritual life, is in the heart. If you look at the old Patanjali's description of the heart is that place where all desires appear and where also the desires merge. With merge he means certain desires stop to be in the heart. Like they are no longer relevant for you. As a child, for instance, you had desires to play with baby dolls. They appeared in your heart and you desired a doll very much. But as you grew older, not with all of our Croatian martyrs who go to bed with their dolls, I have heard. But as you grow older, normally, the desire to play with dolls becomes exchanged. You want to have a husband, maybe. Or you have other desires. car driving and so on. So the heart, in other words, is the place where the most existential thing happens. Desires. Each one of us here, and also each conditioned soul in this world, even each liberated soul, is a product of his or her desires. You are here in this tent because you develop the desire to take part in our summer camp and to listen to the seminars which are offered in the summer camp. Some of us are at this time in the ocean swimming because in their heart is another desire. They want to experience the beautiful bounty of Krishna's nature, this wonderful, breathtaking nature. Others are eating pizzas because they have this desire. Some of us are brahmacharis because they have this strong desire to remain in this ashram. Once, Prabhupada went on a morning walk, and in his own way, he asked his devotees, "Why are you in Krishna consciousness?" Someone said, "Rupa Goswami says, in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Dalu Dali Dalala." Prabhupada said, "No." Another attempted an answer. "I am in Krishna consciousness because the material world is full of suffering." Prabhupada said, "No, that is not why you are here." And many gave their answers, and finally Prabhupada gave the answer. "You are in Krishna consciousness because you like to be in Krishna consciousness. It's a desire which came from the heart." Very simple, but very, very important. Do you know how many desires you have? Desires? I don't know. But thoughts you have every day? 32,000 thoughts. That's an army of thoughts. Most of them are flowing in the subconsciousness and we don't become so aware of it, but they nevertheless determine our ways through life. Many of these thoughts are desires which are constantly, constantly being produced out of the heart. The desires, my dear devotees, describe your whole life. If you want to change your life, you must change your desires. Hari Bol. Now, to change desires is not so easy. Have you ever tried to change a desire?
No.
Because it's very difficult. Yeah? I have often tried to change desires. I wanted to desire only pure love of God. Then we went with Lokanath Maharaj through Vrindavan. He instructed us. "Here are kalpa briksha trees. You can desire from them, but best is to desire pure love of God." Because I have full faith in each single word which emanates from Lokanath Maharaj. I went to the kalpa briksha trees and said, "Please give me pure love of Godhead. Please give me pure love of Godhead." But over my life I found out, oh, there are so many other desires. I wanted to go to Tibet. I wanted to do this and that, many things which I am too embarrassed to state in this saintly August appearance here in the tent. I have seen many of my god brothers who wanted to be sannyasis, but the desires to be grihasthas were stronger than their other desires. There were desires who came from the heart to be grihasthas, and ultimately they followed this desire, and we wish them all the best on the new path in life. I've seen so many brahmacharinis who wanted to be lifelong sankirtan heroines, heroines is the English word. I have seen so many brahmacharis. I've seen so many people who wanted to remain, to stay devotees, but they, when we visit them, they are now directors. They are living lives, and they said it was so uncomplicated in the brahmachari ashram, but my desires pulled me into this, and I have very little time to think about my spiritual development. Desires are ultimately deciding what we do in our lives and what we do not do. With your intelligence, you may be able to understand spiritual knowledge, but your intelligence will not be sufficient to control or redirect or change desires. This place where you have to work to change your desire is not the intellect, it is the heart. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has said, Cheto darpana majanam, the heart is like the mirror, you know? Which is full of dust, and these dust mean anya bilash, other desires than spiritual life. And if you want to become a devotee, you must cleanse the mirror of your heart so that the pure desires, Krishna conscious desires, come forth. And on, this is not easy. It is not for the superficial materialists. It's for people whom Krishna describes as Mahatmas, rare souls. It is something where you must know that it will demand your fullest concentration, your deepest attention, the most real part of your personality. It is something which is very, very deep and very wonderful, the transformation of the heart. And I will now start to discuss about this a little bit from the medieval times. In the medieval times in Europe, there used to be a group of mystics who are known as the alchemists. These alchemists are all over the world. And they were often very much misunderstood. The alchemists wanted to find a formula by which they could change ordinary bell metal into gold. Now, many people misunderstood them and thought, well, these alchemists are just greedy after wealth. They meant gold. But, as it turns out, if you study the literature, I have read about this, they wanted to find a formula which they could use in changing their own heart, in transforming their own character. They thought, if we find it in gold, how to make gold from ordinary metal, then we have the principle which we have to apply to our heart. And as far out this may sound to you, on a sunny evening in Croatia, It has a lot to do with our seminar. Let me ask you the question. What would be necessary to change gold, to change bell metal, or let us use a metal which we all know, copper, into gold? Who is a man who and a woman who has studied physics? You would have to enter the atomic structure and change the atoms around, which are held together by what is called the strong force. It's a natural law. To enter into the atomic structure takes so much energy and also sets free so much energy. This is the atom bomb. You know, there's some manipulation going on. You can't do this with physical strengths, you know, to enter and and then you have, oh, gold. We have changed the atoms around. You need strengths or forces which are by far superior to physical forces and so on. What you could easily do is to take copper, paint it gold, say, I have gold. But this type of gold would not even survive 1 week of the Croatian winter. If you would have such golden painted copper out in the rain and cold, the gold would very easily fall off the plate. So, my dear devotees, if you want to change your heart, something of this dimension is before you. A task of this momentous thing is before you. It is described by Sanatana Goswami that by diksha, an ordinary person, a sutra, can be transformed into a brahmana. His character can be changed. Just like by a certain alchemistic process, you can change iron into gold. Ha! Here we have the same example which the alchemist used in medieval Europe in the traditional spiritual culture of India. See, my dear devotees, you can easily change your externals, your frisura, your dress and your language. But this doesn't make a devotee. A devotee is someone who has changed his heart. Never ever become disappointed or angry or fault finding when you see that a devotee has not mastered this art. Many of our experiences in Krishna consciousness is that devotees come attracted by the wonderful promises of Krishna consciousness. They stay for some time, but really their heart has not changed. When there is an opportunity for material life, they grab it with happiness. We have many examples of persons who try to follow the rules of celibacy. I'm thinking here of Origenes, the father of the church. But he could not change his desires. Finally, he took a knife and mutilated himself. Mutilation. Consecration. Castridate. They're very heavy. Very castration. Yes. I don't think he had peace afterwards, because the desires are not happening or not manifest. They may manifest, but they are not born in physical parts of the body. They are born, as we have learned, in the sritze, in the heart. We have seen many, many people from traditions fighting against it. And this fight is also there in our movement. Devotees wish to be something, but the desires are so strong in the untransformed heart that they end up in stations which they wanted to avoid when they started. The heart's desires are very, very strong. These are very strong powers. To transform the heart is not something for the easygoing, for the weak in mind and weak in heart. You need something. The scriptures abound of stories of failure. And now don't worry, we will have a good ending of this class. But this will be now the... we will reach the bottom of disappointment in a minute. So that you will ask, what is my chance? The reason why I do this is because I really wish that you think very deeply what transformation can mean for you. The example is which we will tell you of a sad failure with a glorious ending is Sobari Muni. It's from the Bhagavata. Sobari Muni was a mystical yogi who had enormous accomplishments. He was sitting on the ground of a river meditating. Why? Very easy. He wanted to have a disturbance-free place for his practice. And he thought, on the ground of a river, it's very peaceful. Let me go there. And he stayed there without developing the fish breathing. You know, I don't know what it is called. What is this called? This? Huh? Gills. Yes. Branga. He developed no brangas. He continued with his... How did he do it? Very simple. He extracted the prana from the water. It's possible. And he lived. Now one evening, or was it a morning? I do not know. I was not there. Two fishes with romantic intent came together to enlarge their families. And when the yogi saw the two fishes copulating, old sanskaras in the form of desires became shaken up, and he thought, this is a good idea to have the pleasures of romance. Now, as soon as the mind of the yogi gets shaken, he cannot maintain his mystic practice, and he developed. He all of a sudden noted, I'm out of air, and he came out of the Yamuna. He went on the coast of the Yamuna. He was covered all with green algae. He was a long time there. In other words, in the Yamuna, he thought, what to do? I desire grihastha life so badly. And he went to the next king. He was in Mathura. His name was something like Mandahata. Was his name Mandata? Thank you. And he said, "I'm ready for marriage. Do you have princesses available?" And the king saw this green extraterrestrial, you know. And he said, my daughters are free to choose their husband. This is our regulation here in this kingdom, because he thought, no, if I tell yes, my daughters will just curse me if I marry them to this green elk, Algerian or what, elk covered person. So Bari Muni knew the mind of Mandata and Hare Krishna. And he was using his last bit of yogic strength to get a nice appeal. He changed his body into a muscular, good-looking body. He must have changed also his frisura. And he went into the court where the princesses were. There were 50 princesses. When they looked out of their rooms and saw this beautiful dream of a husband walking right into their court, they all began to exclaim enthusiastically, "This man is fit to become my husband." They all said this. So Bari Muni said, "Yes, I also think so." And he married 50 princesses and tried to satisfy them in all respects, also physical respects. At the end of the life, he reflected, "Oh, I was a yogi. Now I'm so entangled. I'm the dancing dog in the desires of all these 50 temperamental people who are my wives. And I have to run to fulfill all the desires, 50, you know, not two. You know, usually you have enough with one mind, but he had to run after 50 minds. This is a feat of extraordinary thing." So he said, "Let us make an Ishtagosti." And he called all his wives together and he said, "We are not satisfied, aren't we?" "No, we are not satisfied." And then he said, "This is because I made a terrible mistake. I'm irresponsible. You can only be satisfied if you change your heart and become a devotee of Krishna, because Krishna is Hrishikesha, the master of the mind, the master of the senses. Now, let us all become devotees of Hrishikesha." And his wives, who had just experienced a life of trying to run after the mind and rub the material elements together to get satisfaction — this is a decent word of sexuality, rubbing material elements together — they understood, "Our husband says the truth." And they became devotees. They ended their lives as devotees of Hrishikesha. Hare Krishna. This is a success story. But let us deal with the first part of the story. The story of failure. It is so hard. It is so difficult, even for a great yogi who can control his breathing. And if you want to control your breathing, you have to work on the mind. It doesn't work in another way. He failed. I want to ask now a question to you. Tomorrow or the day after, I think the day after tomorrow, I will invite all of you on a meditational journey. We will actually do breathing exercises to calm our mind, and then we will use our mind into an authorized meditational practice, which Srila Prabhupada describes and which we have taken and unfolded a little bit more. We will become yogis for 20 minutes the day after tomorrow. But here I want to ask you a question. Have I been a little successful? No, this is not the way how to ask devotees. Have you understood a little bit how difficult it is to transform the heart? Do you think, who thinks it's very easy? I think some young devotees will raise their hand. Not one person thinks it's very easy. You may... It is difficult. Is this... Are we... Is it alright to say like this? It is difficult. Now I want to ask you, is it at all possible? And if you think yes, if you think no, then please do not raise your hand. Because we have already described how difficult it is. If you think it is possible to transform the heart, please tell us how you think it is possible. All of the young devotees have their hands first up. We will start with older devotees. How is it possible for you to change the heart? Mind the historical statistical accounts of attempts in our international attempt for becoming Krishna consciousness. Keep this statistics in mind. I'm too shy to tell you these statistics, nor do I think that there has been or could possibly be a realistic statistic of how many devotees can transform their hearts. Because sometimes it may go over several lifetimes, and the story of Yadabharat is there as an illustration. So keep this in mind, that the statistics of how many devotees are still in the process. How is the transformation of the heart possible? Keep in mind the example of changing Sanatana Goswami's changing metal into gold. What is necessary? An almost atomic thing. How is it possible? Is it possible? We've heard from Prabhupada a statement that what to look for. Do we have the Bhagavatam in one volume with us here? Yes. You can please open the Bhagavatam 2:34. It's on the thing, and I will read it for you, what you have to look for. I'm very happy that you don't give quick answers to this question. How is it possible? Yes, iskrina, duhona niveau, I understood, seriousness and spiritual level. What was he, can you say it in English?
And also, mercy is very necessary.
The wish has to be sincere, and mercy is necessary. 2:23. Oh, I have given you a wrong text. Now I don't know where it is, but I will find it. This was the wrong text. It's also a nice text, but it is not the right text. I'm sorry. It's from another class. How is it possible? Loganath Maharaj, please give him a microphone so that we can hear Maharaj. Our Loganath Maharaj is responsible, at least for my own spiritual life. He has brought me to Braj and explained the places. It helped a lot. Please, Maharaj.
Change of heart.
Yes. How did you do it?
How I done it?
Yes.
I mean, I could only say it philosophically that Shranmataha Swakatha Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Pradyantasto hi abhadrani vidhunoti suritsatam. By hearing Bhagavatam, which is the topmost pious activity, that message of Bhagavatam goes deep within the heart, inner chambers of our heart, and Riddhi means heart, Antaha means inside. Riddhyantasto hi abhadrani. Whatever is inauspicious within the heart, vidhunoti, cleansing, is done. And then you have a new heart, or clean heart, pure heart. That's one approach, or that's one answer.
Wonderful. Thank you very, very much, Maharaj. Very, very nice. Maharaj has said, by the chanting of the holy names, in the deep, deep areas of the heart, the abhadranis, the inauspicious things, are cleansed away. Maharaj has said, it is possible, and this is how it is possible. Suta Goswami has said, yeah, it's a wonderful verse on heart change. Yes. Any other answers to this question? I'm sure you have experienced some changes in your heart already in Krishna consciousness. Something has changed. What helped? Dvijanayaka. Dvijanayaka thinks by pleasing God. Does he have a name? Oh, yeah. By serving Krishna. Oh, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, by serving God and his devotees in a way with where you have no motives, where you change the motivation, when you change the motivation, it is, you get the mercy, you said. And Vijayanayaka said, without mercy, he thinks it is impossible. By establishing deep spiritual relationships, it's possible to transform the heart. How does this work? I'm asking. Something happens in the heart. Something happens in the heart. Yeah, please. By association of pure devotees, my heart gets transformed. Desires change. Yeah. I knew this myself. I knew when I would become a devotee, I would become disinherited and lose a few million marks. I knew that. But when I saw Prabhupada, I said, I don't care. Who needs money? Only the fools. I need Krishna. And my whole life changed. And I have not regretted it so far. Transformation. Yes. Sundarananda. I would say this changing of the heart is no ending of process. It means it goes on and on and on. Yes, some have said, my heart is like a coal mine. The more I wash, the more dirt comes. Yeah, If you endeavor to become exposed to the mercy of the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavat person, this is what our Lokanath Maharaj has instructed us, then this change can take place. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. It is necessary to open our hearts in order to change our hearts. I'm your mirror. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I want to thank you very much. And it would be interesting, actually, if we get a pieces of paper. Maybe Adya could arrange. Are you still here? Yes. Then we can make lists, which we can post around, and devotees can look before seminars. Not now, but for the next seminar. Because some of your answers are very deep, and I would say, yes, all of the answers. Now, we have a different... Hare Krishna, Prabhu. You are opening the altar. This is your mercy on us. But let us... Because it is flexible time, if you open now... let me just, and then we do a whole, then we do an article. Let me just round this up, please, because we are already later than. No, I don't know. How? What is your wristwatch, please? Is it 7? Oh, my is always wrong. Yes, yeah, 7:15. This seminar is a little started a little later. And I will just finish this so that we go all together to the Aratik. And I want to thank you very, very much from the depths of my heart for giving your nice attention and good answers. But I wish to request you to think a little bit more how the transformation of your heart can take place. Plan a little bit your life. Think about your ideal life. You must have something in mind how you wish to live in the future. And think how you can do this. And then we will, tomorrow, we will start. The seminar is supposed to start at 5:30, but we have a flexible time schedule and don't want to pressurize anyone, but we want to start earlier so that we can give the seminar. I want to thank you very, very much, and please think about this a little bit deeper so that tomorrow we go into it. This day I just wanted to introduce to you this seminar and make you a little bit aware of how difficult the transformation of the heart can be. And we have already some positive answers, how it could become. But I wish every one of you to please think about it. If you have no time to think about such a deep question, which I can understand because it's a festival, don't worry, you can still come. But it's good if you can think a little bit about it. We will go tomorrow. We will talk a little bit about a queen, the beautiful queen of Shraddha, of faith, which is very, very important in our thing. For now, we will end our evening. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Go Nitai ki jai. Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. Hari Hari Bo.